Welcome to the Archives of the Loralee Show, conversation for exploration, timeless discussions to challenge and expand our worldview. And while you may find our guests fascinating, the views expressed may not necessarily reflect those of our own or of the Cuyamangue Institute. That's why we call it Conversation for Exploration. And join in our ongoing live events, interviews, our own presentations, and much, much more as we go exploring. Learn more at CuyamangueInstitute.com and Loralee.com. And hello there, I'm Loralee, and thanks for tuning into Conversation for Exploration. Loralee here on The Loralee Show. Last Saturday night, a gentleman called in and offered some prayers. They were beautiful. They were spoken in his native Lakota tongue. And we had a lot of calls, people saying, could I have heard the English translation? Hello. I'm going, oh yeah, that would have been a good idea. We called Thomas and contacted him, and he said, oh, no problem. I'll come back and give you some other prayers and messages from my tradition. That is the Lakota tradition, one of those dialects there, and share with you some more. We were delighted. And Thomas joins us now. Thomas, thank you for being here tonight.
Oh, how you doing today?
Oh, we're doing pretty good.
Great.
Tell us a little bit of background and...
quite a few of the reservations on South Dakota, Pine Ridge, Rosebud, Cheyenne River, and Standing Rock. It's all Lakota and Dakota and Nakota people. I grew up with my language and my traditions, but in order to make myself a living, I have to come to the cities to make money, because on the reservation, unless you work for the U.S. federal government or some cattle rancher, you can't make any money. And it's really hard to live out there. It's really cold. The houses are like third world countries. Even though they're HUD houses, which are government houses, some of them are actually made, believe it or not, without insulation.
And I've seen pictures.
Yeah, it's some are from the 1920s, and they were real bad then, and now they're real bad now. And it's a pretty desolated place in some ways, but, you know, in a lot of ways, it's a good place, because there's a lot of strength and spirituality and understanding there, and a lot of sacred things go on there. I go back there whenever I can, as much as I can, and to see my relatives and go through ceremonies, real ceremonies, like not like what I hear some of these talk about ceremonies that they perform or can do or whatever. I'll tell you right now, I'm not a Wachashawa Khan, which is what we call a holy man, which most people would think of as a shaman or a medicine man or something like that. So I'm not going to get on the phone here and say that I'm anything like that. I'm just a Wachasha, just a common man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we prefer to call ourselves, is Ikche, common. Or if you talk about a whole group, it's Ikche Oyateki, common people of the land. We don't call ourselves kings or queens or princesses or royalty or anything like that. We're all the same.
You grew up bilingual.
Yeah.
Could you speak a little bit more of that language, and what dialect is this? Lakota, Nakota?
It's Lakota.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So how many dialects are there within the Lakota, Nakota? How does that all work?
Well, there's basically three.
Okay.
And with the Lakota language, you'll say things like "Oyate yanikti cha henaji," which means "stands before us." And in the Dakota, they would say it with a yanikpikta. They would maybe add a T, another A to the T, A, and have the cha with a hard C, and with a henaji A, they would have maybe a letter deleted or added. It depends on what they're saying and what conjunction you put it in.
It's a very complex language, it sounds like.
Not really. It's.
It sounds it to our ears, but go ahead.
It's actually pretty easy. It's just that with English and Lakota, like the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota language doesn't really translate into English.
Oh, that's where the, okay, duh, that's where the term Dakota comes in, as in North Dakota.
Yeah.
Lakota, Nakota, Dakota, all variations on the same.
It's like South Dakota.
Right.
Yeah. But whatever I say in Lakota doesn't necessarily mean when I give you an interpretation, that doesn't exactly, that's not exactly what it means. It's just the closest I can come to you. Like, when we say a prayer, we say, Halakashla Wakantanka, at the beginning of our prayer, which means literally, greetings, grandfather, great, big, holy. But if you were to, in context, people would say, like, in the Christian way, it'd be Jesus and God.
Thomas, we'll take a break, and when we come back, let's hear more of your prayers that you have for us in your native language and translated into English. I'll look forward to hearing that. We're talking with Thomas Horst. He says he's also happy to field any questions you may have for him. I'm Laura Lee. Laura Lee here on The Laura Lee Show. We are visiting with Thomas Horst. He's living in Seattle, Washington right now, but he grew up on the reservations of the Dakotas, and he's of that tribe, the Lakota Nakota. Thomas would love to hear that same prayer that you spoke last Saturday night and its translation.
Yeah, see, the prayer is pretty much a basic, simple prayer that honors all the directions. We call the four directions, Tatia Topa, which means the four directions. Mm-hmm. Then it honors above, which is what we call Waka, and below, Maka, which is the earth. So I'll say it all again, and the inside of the earth also. But it goes, Halatakashala wakantanka. Na ate wakantanka. Na tatia topa na maunkpo. Ryok piata. Wakian gatiwan. Ahituwampo. Na waziata. Tatanka oyateki. Ahituwampo. Na wioyampata. Sente sapila. Oyateki. Ahituwampo. Na itokagata. Wumbly wakan oyateki. Ahituwampo. Na wangad kia ahetuwampo. Na maka ina, na unche maka ahetuwampo. Na hocho ka, wambli gleska oyateki ahetuwampo. Ha matakias. But the interpretation of that is, grandfather, great spirit, or great big holy. See, I'm going to put this in the context of English the best I can for you. Hear me. To the four directions, hear me. To the west, thunder beings, thunder nation, look upon me. To the north, buffalo nation, look upon me. To the east, black-tailed deer nation, look upon me. To the south, eagle nation, look upon me. Above, look upon me. Mother Earth, Grandmother Earth, look upon me. To the center, Spotted Eagle Nation, look upon me. Then Metakriyasin at the end means all my relatives. That's the prayer.
Oh, that was beautiful. There's such a majestic poetry sense to...
Well, you know, whenever I sometimes go and I do things for people in the... Wherever I go, like in the Anipi, what we call a sweat lodge, or sing some songs for people, or something. Like I said, I'm not a Wachashua Khan, but I do know ceremonies and things that are as old as anybody that's ever come over here across the water. And when I do these for these people, if they're not feeling good or whatever, just those words alone help them out. And I don't take any credit or say that I did anything, and I don't make any money off it or anything like that, and I don't ask for money or anything like that, because all the things that I know, they're really not mine anyway. They're of the earth. That's why people feel good, because it's real.
And we can choose where we tune our consciousness in, and and these prayers are just that—a kind of a tuning device, aren't they?
That's exactly it. It's getting close to who you really are.
Yeah.
No matter what color you are.
Tell me just a bit about the Red Road. Then we have some callers that want to talk to you.
Well, we call it Red Road Chankuluta Ogunamani. That means to walk in the red road. It's a straight road that to where you humble yourself and you be honest with all your friends and with your acquaintances and the earth and the air and the water, and you don't throw your garbage when you open up something on the ground, and you don't cuss out your friends, and you don't cheat your friends, and even people that you don't know, you don't. Everybody's your friend when you're walking on the Chankuluta,
the red road.
Yeah. And to walk that road, also you got to have a chanupa wakan, a holy pipe, which is what people call a peace pipe. And when you get that, usually you make it yourself, or someone special gives it to you, like a Wachasha Wakan, that blesses it with the power of the earth and the sky, four directions, and you carry that with you when you go on that path, because it could be termed as a path or a road either way, but in our language it's more like a path, but to be descriptive to people we say a road, because most people see things as a road than a path, unless you get, you know, real intricate with somebody that's studying some other philosophy of life that doesn't pertain to a road. That's basically what it all is into a short phrase.
And let's take some calls for you. Louis in Los Angeles is on the telephone for you, Thomas. Hello, Louis. Thanks for being here.
I'd like to know if you have like a spiritual healing in your native tongue for the mind and the soul.
Well, healing. The prayer that I just said, you heard that? Well, that's it right there.
Was that the one?
Yeah.
Kind of connecting to earth and the directions and
the mind and soul, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, the thing is also it's there's no set way of doing anything. You could just say the words Metakoya Sin.
So any other healing words? Thank you for the call, Louis. Okay. Any other healing words that you want to share with us, Thomas?
Well, I was thinking I have a short song.
Okay.
That would everybody being out of alignment with themselves. This is a really good song, and it's a short song, and you sing the song four times. And,
okay.
It's short, and then I'll give you the
translation.
Let me
get through this break first, and then let's come back and hear that.
Okay.
We'll have more time. So when we come back, Thomas Horace will sing us a song and give us his translation. Thomas Horace, here with us tonight. He grew up on reservations in the Dakotas, and he says, just a common man, but he's the real thing. Grew up bilingual with Lakota. So are you full-blood, Thomas?
Pretty much.
Uh-huh.
You got to understand one thing. There's
so few left?
There's hardly any left, because, like I said, there's a Lakota, Nakota, and Dakota, and other people have intermarried with like the Blackfeet, the Cheyenne, and so if you're saying as the Washishu call us Indian, yes.
Well, it's very clear that you grew up learning this language, and you speak it so beautifully, and with all of the folks out there claiming, all the people out there claiming to be natives, authentic natives, I think we should give them a language test, you know. But anyway, you said you had another a song for us.
Yeah, this is the Stone Has Returned song. And that's what we need, is the sacred thing has returned to all of us, of all the people. And it goes like this. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
The interpretation is, a sacred stone stands before us, my friend, observe it. Because you want to live, it has returned.
Were you going to sing it four times?
Well, you want me to sing it four times?
Well, at least one more time.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that can put you in an altered state, doesn't it?
And here's some words for other people that probably will get mired up in that longer prayer. Some shorter words that they could use to help themselves, you know, to practice on.
Okay.
Tinkashala wama yangu yelo. Ikche we chasa chachanubawa yuha ohewa yelo. Mitakuyeo wanik tacha hea yelo. Which means grandfather is coming to see me. This is me, a common man, praising you with his pipe. Now do this so my people may live.
Yeah. Oh, that's lovely.
That's a thing you could say when you're in a time of need or you just want to feel something that's natural.
Yep. Thanks. And we've got lots of phone calls for you. Let's start with Dan in Miami. Hi, Dan. You're on with Thomas Horse.
Hi, Laura. I would like to congratulate you on such a wonderful show. I wish you were on more often during the week. I have a question for your guest.
Go ahead, and thank you for the call.
Yes, ma'am. I was wondering if your guest knew speaking when.
Speaking when?
No, I never.
Thanks. Let's check in with Rick in Fresno, California on KFRE. Hello, Rick.
Hello, Thomas. How you doing, my brother?
Oh, great.
I'm an Apache in Mexico. And I've been on the Red Road for about 3 years. I've been in sweat lodges, and I use the sage, the hawk feathers. So I'm doing pretty much everything that I know to do, but yet there's something missing.
I think a lot of people feel like that. I think that's a common ailment. Do you have any suggestions for all of us and for Rick, Thomas?
Well, Rick, a good thing for people to do that are striving to find, let it find you.
Let it find me?
Yeah, because if it's meant to find you, it will, because things take time in the natural world of spirituality. This philosophy of capitalism and other things that people want right away, they get, but then they really don't want it. They don't like it.
I see. One more thing. Can I ask just one more thing?
Yes, yeah. Please go ahead.
Okay, Turkey Vulture. I've had a lot of those feathers come to me. I usually use them for purification, as I understand it. Could you help me on that? Could you comment on that?
Well, I could tell you that the turkey vulture is almost as close in a lot of ways with the eagle.
I see.
But the thing is, the turkey vulture is more of a closer to the earth, and it doesn't get as high as the eagle. That's why we use the eagle feathers for purification, of cleansing ourselves with the sage and cedar and sweetgrass. So if you want to use feathers, you should try to get eagle feather or have one come to you.
I see.
You know what else about the vulture is that was a very prominent Egyptian symbol, and you go through just about any temple and over the lintel, the bar that across the doorway, you'll find the spread feathers of the vulture, and it had something to do with mother and the feminine aspect. And also the vultures were seen to be a little bit prescient, that they could foretell, because they'd always circle around and know where where somebody was going to die, and they could go to it. And let's see. Let's check in with a few more. Can you hang with us a little bit more, Thomas? I know you have an early morning tomorrow, but got lots more calls for you. So we will continue with, by the way, lots of questions from our chat room, people wanting to know, do you have any particular spiritual practices? Is there a Lakota tradition of spirit questing, or are there certain hallucinogenic plants like peyote that are part of that tradition? And did you grow up taking this? Did you have some shamans or medicine men in your family that was this journeying part of the regular part of growing up on the reservation. If you can tell us a bit about that.
I sure will.
Oh, good. So we look forward to that. We continue with Thomas Horace just after this. I'm Laura Lee. Hey, we have an hour left to go to continue our visit right here on The Laura Lee Show. And I have to say, our open phone time is one of my favorite parts of the show. It's like you take a call and you never know what surprise is going to be on the other end. And when somebody like Thomas Horace calls you up and says a prayer in that beautiful and exquisite Lakota language, boy, you invite him back to come and visit. And that's what he's done tonight. Come back, and he has a few more prayers and translations for us, a few more healing words. Thomas, I have to tell you a quick story. And that is just how Paul and I personally respond to the native sound. Paul has a Native American flute, a Native American cedar flute. Do you play an instrument?
Yes, I play the flute.
Oh, you play the flute?
Yes, I do.
Do you have it with you?
No, I don't have a flute.
Oh.
But I have a hand drum that I made, and that's primarily what I play while I'm in the city.
Oh, so you have your hand drum with you?
Yeah.
So we can hear a few notes of it maybe after this next break?
Sure.
Okay. Because even the drums just have that evocative note. So, ready for some phone calls?
Oh, yeah.
Jim in Colorado, you're on with Thomas Horace. Hello.
Yeah, I was calling about the ancient symbols that, you know, they have, like the cross with the circle and the medicine man wears it. And the Christians, they have the same cross. And if you go back in history, as far as you can go, the Iceman and I think it's Switzerland or wherever that they found that was like 5,000 years old.
Oh, the Iceman.
He had a cross tattooed on him. And I got to wonder, why has everybody got these crosses?
Your comments, very interesting point that you're making.
Yeah, I agree with what he's saying about the axes. And to get to his point about the cross and what he was talking about when he'd see him on a medicine man, it's called a medicine wheel, which a lot of people, I'm sure, have heard about.
Uh-huh.
And that does represent the four directions and the center of the universe and the earth itself. And balance, the left, the right, black, white, good, evil, it's all in that circle and in that cross. That's why you have four different ways of going.
Uh-huh.
And that's what the four directions, and that's what the cross that the Christians, Jesus, was killed upon and sacrificed for all of his people that followed his way of life and his understanding. When I say the prayer, Tinkashala Wakantanka, if you put it in a Christian context, it's Jesus and God.
Right.
So, see, it all comes down to the same thing as everybody else out there that has a religious way of life. See, we don't call it a religion, but under the government way of listing things, we call it a religious way of life. That's the only way we can have our eagle feathers and go to our sun dances and have our so-called freedom of religion. When you get to a certain point in our philosophy of life,
mm-hmm.
once you understand what right and wrong is and what pain and suffering is and understand those things, you don't become an innocent being anymore. And nothing, there's no such thing as accidents either. Things happen for a reason. We just don't understand them until somebody describes it to us.
Oh, beautiful. We're talking with Thomas Horace. He's from the Lakota tribe, grew up bilingual. He's been speaking that beautiful native tongue and giving us some translations of some of the prayers that he was knows and was taught from a young age. Thomas, in terms of the cross, thank you for that input and a very interesting point to bring up. What also interests me is that according to Angelus Arian, she's looked at the symbols that are most common throughout all cultures and through time. A cross, of course, is one of them, or an X turned on its side. Also a wavy line for water, the square, the circle, the triangle, the spiral. But what interests, so that they're universally used, But what interests me, I mean, you can go back to scratchings on cave walls with, you know, simple geometric signs, and of course the cross is always one of them there too. But what interests me here is that in the medicine wheel, you've got this circle with a cross inside. It stands for the central sun. And what interests me is that in Tibet, you've got the sand paintings, and you've got the same circle with the cross in between and the colors in the same place as you do sometimes in the medicine wheel.
Yes, that's true. It's like I was saying, with the way that this government here classifies religion as just one part of your being, only on Sunday or Saturday, Wednesday, Tuesday, whatever day that your religion is, when you sin and whatever and decide to go to church. Well, that's what they classify as a religion, and they only look at it in one context. But with the Ikchayoyateki, the common people of the land, their religious way of life is every day, from putting on their shoes to going to sleep at night, thinking about good things or the next day.
Also, the interesting thought of this connection between Tibet, Native Americans, and in South America and China, and this kind of cross-cultural connection. Any thoughts, any legends? I mean, I've heard other Native legends where Sun Bear once, and I forget what tribe he was from, but he once told us that one of the legends of his heritage is coming down in a clamshell, opening up, and his people stepping out. What are your creation myths?
Are you talking about the Sun Bear that was
in Spokane?
Yeah. See, the thing about that guy is he claimed to be from a certain tribe, and nobody could track him down where he really was from.
Who out there is authentic, in your opinion?
Nobody knows them but me. Well, I'll give you some names that some people might know that they've heard about. Black Elk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fool's Crow. Whirlwind Soldier. Iron Horse. Iron Hawk. Looking Eagle. Looking Horse. Those people like that. A lot of them are gone. Eaglehead. They're all gone. But they were real, and there's a lot of real ones out there right now, but they're not out there making the money. They're the kind of people you go on the reservation and you just see this old guy in some pants that might have a few holes in them, but still he looks clean and everything, and he's got some old shoes on, just walking down the road or sitting in front of his little house there, or just sitting out under a tree, and you think, oh, who's that old man? But when you go up there and talk to him,
he's the real thing.
He's the real thing.
You're listening to The Laura Lee Show. I'm Laura Lee. Laura Lee here with a visit with Thomas Horse. And Thomas, you've got your drum ready. We're going to hear that in a few minutes. Let's go back to the telephones. Eleanor's in Minnesota. Hello, Eleanor.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air with Thomas Horse. Go ahead.
Yes, I have a question about the Indians keeping a history of the white people in the wars, the Indian wars that... before Minnesota was settled.
Any input on that, Thomas?
It's called a winter count, where we take it and we draw pictures once a year. There's always one major thing that happens, and the person could be a Wichashua Khan, a holy man, or just a regular person that's appointed by the tribe that will... keep this winter count, and the most important thing that happened in that year of all the 12 cycles of the moon will be painted down as a picture and interpreted for all the people. And the reason they do it once a year is because you only have so much hide drawn.
Thanks, Eleanor, and good luck to you. Hi, James, where are you?
Yeah, I'm Topaz, Nevada. I says, and I'm listening to you on KKOH Radio out of Reno.
Great.
And my question for Thomas Horse tonight, I'm Iroquois Mohegan. I've been intimately related, that is. My great-great-grandmothers, two of them. My question is there any Iroquois Mohegans that around that speak the language still.
Can you help him out
there,
Thomas? Any directions you might go in?
Well, you see, a lot of tribes in this country still speak their language. What I would suggest to you is that what I told that the lady in Minnesota is to call Indian Country today or write them a letter. They're in Rapid City, South Dakota.
Rapid.
Yeah.
And tell them what you would like to do and know, and I'm sure they'll help you out.
Great. Thanks so much. And let's talk next to Mouse and Sam in Honolulu on KHVH. Hello there.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Larly. Hi, Mr. Horace.
Hello.
We went on the powwow trail not too long ago.
What is the powwow trail?
That's when you try to catch every powwow all along the continent, try to catch them in each and drive, you know.
Okay.
And we had gone to Rosebud, and that was such a fascinating experience. We tried to go look for Leonard Crow Dog.
Oh, yeah.
Is he still there?
Well, he travels a lot like me.
Yeah.
We didn't meet him, but we met his whole family.
You went to the palace, huh?
Yeah. We were, it was right before the Bismarck powwow.
Yeah.
But we were stranded one time, and we saw such, you know, the sky. It was really dark.
Uh-huh.
And I guess that thought came back to us. We were just discussing about it when you were talking about, you know, you gave us the prayer about the stone returning.
Oh.
And my better half, Sam, said, you know, and, you know, at the res, life is just going to go on.
Oh.
Maybe it's time that we should all return back to each other and
or at least contemplate that thought. That's a good point.
That's exactly right.
But we thank you and we honor you for that prayer. I took it down and we're going to practice our Lakota again.
Oh.
Oh, cool.
Everybody asked us, what tribe are you from? We said, we were from the Hawaii tribe. And then we got invited and we stayed with this family. It was really fun. They're so nice.
So can anybody go on this powwow trail?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How do you do it?
You get a car and a bunch of people and you just go from each powwow to each powwow. You kind of have a little map with you. We got one from a guy named Tiger, who's pretty popular, with his own merchandise, and we just followed. We went through Arizona, and we went through Utah, and up to North Dakota. Mm-hmm. We've also tried to help a medicine man who was ill. I don't know if you remember him, Mr. Horace, but his name was Mr. Robert Steed.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's my uncle.
Yeah, we were there when he was in the hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it was quite an adventure, and I hope we get to meet you, too, the next time we go on the powwow trail.
You never know.
Thanks so much for the report. I appreciate that. You know, one thing that amazes me is when you go back and you look at the Iceman, who was preserved from with all of his tools and his very intricate pouch of arrows and the arrow holder that folded over and how the arrows were put together and his shoes that were made of leather and stuffed straw and his outfit that he was wearing and his tools and a copper axe and his wooden this, that, and the other and blades and all this kind of stuff, stone blades. And you wonder, you know, we've forgotten how to take care of ourselves. We've forgotten how to take simple materials and turn them into useful tools and clothing and survive out there without high tech. We've been spoiled by all of this. And so we really, I mean, there was such a sophistication of technology way back when, even 5,000 years ago, that we've lost. I saw a program where they commented that he used 18, or his culture used 18 different woods to put his tools together. He used the most appropriate woods for the particular task that the tool was designed to do. And so immense sophistication on this, and we've lost a lot of that. When you were growing up on the reservation, Thomas, were a lot of those time-honored means, tools of building and this and the other, were they still intact?
Oh, yeah, a lot of them are, and the intelligence to put it all together is still there, too.
Thank you. I'm glad someone's preserving all that, because we may need it in the very near future. We'll come right back with Thomas Horace, and can we hear your drum when we come back?
You bet.
I'm Lorelei. Lorelei here. We have a few more minutes to spend with Thomas Horse. But Thomas, I hope that we can have more time to visit with you in future. It's really been a treat. Do you have some of your drumming we can hear, please?
Yeah, let me tell you about this drum here.
Okay.
It's a double-sided elk hide drum that I made. And I got the elk hide from a friend of mine. So it's handmade. I didn't buy it or anything like that. And, it's made in the traditional Lakota way. Same with stick. And the song I'm going to sing is a Weewong Wachipi Olwan. It's a Sundance song. It's really old, so bear with me.
Thank you.
Did you hear that?
We sure did.
Okay.
Yeah, that was nice. Any other comments?
Well, to get back to your callers that were on the internet, wanted to know about ceremonies and peyote and things. Yes, I've been to quite a few ceremonies, and yes, I have pretty much all my relatives are into the either Wakan or Wachansha Wakan or Uweepi Manor, or there is a what people would call ancient spiritualism.
Okay.
And we do have a lot of ceremonies where we go deep into our minds and into the earth physically and mentally, and we do communicate directly with the Creator. Not like a lot of people try to do and pay money to try to do. In order to do all these things that people promise you, if you give them a little bit of money to do for you, to make you feel good, you basically got to do it kind of like for yourself, but you got to get the proper instructions.
Okay.
Where you can't do it for yourself. So, you know, I hear a lot of people, without interjecting my own opinion myself, just sitting there listening, telling other people that they can heal themselves or they can do this by themselves, but they don't tell them the secret word that they have to have the proper instructions.
Where do you get the proper instructions?
Well, it's like I was telling that brother down there in Arizona or wherever he was from.
It'll find you when you're ready?
It's going to find you when you're ready. If you pursue it, it's just going to stay in front of you all the time because Tinkashla Wakantanka knows what's in your heart and what's in your mind, and if you want it too fast, he might give it to you real quick, and then you won't want it because it's too fast and too powerful for you.
Uh-huh.
That's why a lot of things, they take time, just like winter. Gets here slow and goes away slow. And every other season that comes along in our age, we're born and we start developing and getting older, and pretty soon we pass on. And so on. Everything in the natural world is that way because that's the real thing. These TVs and stereos and cars and everything else, they go too fast, and everybody wants their stuff fast, and when they want their stuff fast and pay all that money for those fast things and to get them quick in the mail and through computers and other things, other people have to pay the price for the pollution, the integrity that's lost because they have to do overtime and they don't have time for their kids. And you just name it, it can go. I can go on forever on that. But the thing is that we have to get deep within ourselves and our relatives and everybody stick together and not be afraid of things, because I tell you right now, there's going to be something worse for people to deal with in a philosophical, emotional, spiritual, and physical way. It's coming. It's on its way right now.
Is that part of the teaching?
Yeah.
Describe that.
It's indescribable. It's like me trying to describe the Chinupa Wakan or one of our sacred ceremonies that's almost like secret, but not really secret, because you'd have to be involved with it to know exactly how it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you have to learn to be humble with your family, your relatives, and your friends. You have to quit being a hypocrite when you're a vegetarian and wearing those leather shoes, and quit being a hypocrite when you're a meat eater against a vegetarian and eating vegetables and having things in your backyard that are the plant life out there. And you know, you could just go on with all that, but it's a hard life to go back to the reality of what we really need to do with our lives and not stay where we are. With, like, in Seattle, the big thing here is with all my roommates. I have four other roommates here in this house, and all my acquaintances that I've met in Seattle, the big thing is coffee, and a lot of them won't give up the coffee.
You know, I agree with you in the sense that there is a way. I mean, God's taking care of it, so wherever situation you find yourself in, there's a lifeline being thrown to you in terms of consciousness or spirit. But you know, it's like joining an ashram. I don't believe everybody has to go to an ashram and renounce everything and all of that. I don't think that everybody has to give up everything about modern day life and return to the Stone Age in order to get it either. Do you really?
Well, I'm not saying that. I mean, the things that are the closest, what you think is the most important, these physical things like money. Money is so important to people that they'll kill another human being for.
Yeah, but most of us don't place it to that importance. Well, it's just a useful tool.
But it's the same thing with cars. You see people out there washing and waxing their car day after day, or they tell you not to put your foot there, or their bicycle, or their house. Don't track no dirt, and I just cleaned it, and a table, a picture.
So maybe it's an attitude of balance.
Yeah,
we can live
exactly
with these things, just
you
don't
have,
let them.
You have to change your attitude.
Okay, so it's an attitude.
That's what I mean by saying what I was saying in the past tense there, that you have to change. And another thing I'd like to say to people out there is that the only person that was authorized by the people of the Hopi tribe was Thomas Bianca. He was the only man chosen by the elders. Only one man is chosen to talk about the prophecy. There's only one man that, and he already went and talked to the UN and said the prophecy, and people can't be having their heads turned around backwards and sideways by other people's monetary gain.
Thank you for that. We're out of time. Do you have any last words in your language for us? And I really appreciate the visit, and thank you for the visit.
Yeah, I like to say, Wakantanka tokahe chewakielo. Mitakwieo bonikhtacha chewakielo. Oh, mitakwias.
That was Thomas Horace. This has been The Laura Lee Show. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for the adventure. I'm Laura Lee.
Laura Lee Online. www.lauralee.com.